Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, December 18th, a couple of hours pre-equity market close with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just swell today, Scott. Yourself?
I am doing well. Let's jump right in to the markets. We're going to cover quite a few things today as this will be the last podcast of 2025. So the first week of January will be the next time we'll get to dive into these things, and we'll be doing it with a fresh look for 2026. So let's just kind of do a quick recap of the markets since last podcast. So we have an S&P that's down basically a percent, NASDAQ that's down 2%, Dow down a percent, Russell down 3%. Gold is flat, really. And we got a 10-year of basically flat. So, not a ton of movement, I will say, and I'll get your opinion on this. It's not really volatile numbers, but it has felt a little more volatile, I would, for me at least.
It absolutely has been volatile for the past week. A lot of that is due to the fact that they are the institutions. When I say that, the institutions are reorganizing their portfolios. They were so overweight tech that they needed to shift it to different fields, which is why you see the Dow is down less than the NASDAQ, because that's where a lot of that is being shifted to. Bringing back more large values, as well as they foresee a lot of small cap growth next year, just like we do, and we anticipate. So they are just kind of redistributing the wealth inside of their funds, which is why you're seeing a lot of that volatility happening.
Yeah, and to that point, that dispersion, as we've talked about on here before, that dispersion into the broader market is actually a really healthy thing. That's what allows for our projections and statistics, really, not just our projections, but statistically sound looking forward into 2026. That's what allows this market to continue to go higher. I've said this many a time one-on-one, which is all next year we're going to hear, well, the market's overextended. It can't continue. Well, it can when it's not concentrated in 10 names. When we have it spread across the broader market, it absolutely kind of continue to move higher. And I think it will move higher in a more orderly fashion. Now, to your point as well, I would say that you could expect a lot of that rebalancing from the institutional side to continue all the way into basically the new year and getting their portfolios cleaned up before the first of the year statements come out and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think you're definitely onto something there. And I think that reallocation is very much supported by projected interest rate cuts. So that might be a good opportunity to jump on over into Carl's corner.
Today we had CPI come out, which is the standard inflation for month over month. And CPI came out at 2.7%. It was forecasted to be 3%. So as you can see, that's a big shift. That's 10% lower than what the economy anticipated. So that's why we're seeing a little bit of a rally today, because the inflation rate has come down. Now, there's an asterisk next to this one CPI number, due to the fact that there was no October data, and there we only get about half of November. So it is a great thing that it came in so low, because if it was at 3% and we were missing that data, more than likely that means the inflation was not where we wanted it to be. But because it was low, there's a good expectation that the one report that's going to come out in January for CPI should be still around 2.7 to 3 in that range, which is right around where the Fed wants it. And you can see that today's CPI numbers towards the Fed didn't make a lot of movements. There's still a 75% chance of no rate cut, 25% chance of a 25 basis point cut, but we are going to be waiting in great anticipation for January 13th. That's the day of the next CPI numbers. And like we've been discussing, PCE is the biggest factor that the Fed likes to use. However, we won't get a PCE until after the Fed meeting,
Right.
which comes on January 28th, and we're not getting one until January 29th. The day after the Fed meeting is when the next PCE comes out. So January, everything is kind of pointing towards this one being the 1 month skip.
Yeah, and I think actually that's a good thing. It'll allow for the markets to sort of start the year off, particularly equity markets and treasuries, start the year off on a good, slow, steady, orderly pace, and then move into that March meeting as to where there's a much greater probability of a rate cut. And then let's do remind everyone that Powell is out the door come May. So there'll be two opportunities, March and April, ahead of that for him to cut if that's the way he wants to, to go out. So that will obviously help to support higher prices in equity markets as well. We've been talking about for a while the various different statistics all throughout the year. We've talked about 2026, higher equity prices also being supported by future Fed rate cuts. I think the language around only one for 2026, I think all that stuff's going to start to change. And I think it'll change throughout next year. Just as a reminder, we did all throughout the year start rebalancing our portfolios to be in more interest rate sensitive sectors, meaning they will be the beneficiaries. Those sectors should be the beneficiaries of rate cuts. So I'm very excited about what 2026 has to hold. And just I'm going to reiterate the fact that all next year you're going to hear the pundits talking about how it's overextended, it can't, all that kind of stuff. So I just be prepared for that. I do have an interesting stat for you. So this is going back to 1984, and it's a little complicated, but we'll try it. So since 1984, as we've seen, crude oil has really, really struggled as of late. And so since 1984, when crude oil prices are within 1% of a 52-week low, and the S&P is within 1% of a 52-week high, so when they happen at the same time as they did on December 11th, the following year, the average gain for the S&P has been 16.7%. And that has been successful 91% of the times that this has occurred since 1984. So, take that for what you will, but that's a 40-year stat. And so, again, it supports some of these other completely uncorrelated stats that we've discussed really since the beginning of this year.
That is absolutely fascinating, and oil is not one of those commodities that we discuss often on this podcast, even though it does have a giant effect on the economy.
Yes.
For instance, the US oil being down the way it is actually has a great effect on the CPI numbers. In fact, they say a big part of the CPI being so low is due to the fact that oil is so low. And it makes so much sense if you really take a step back and look at it. Oil prices coming down means there's more money available on the table to be able to do other things with, such as, what if you go inside the grocery store and start buying snacks, or you were able to go inside the grocery store and buy more things that way, which helps stimulate the economy in other sectors, including sectors like consumer discretionary, to be able
Right.
to lift the S&P. It's absolutely fascinating. I've never actually put that correlation together. So that's really cool stat, Scott.
Yeah, well, and crude oil, I mean, it's got its fingers really all across the economy, but especially this time of year, where there's a lot of tends to be a lot of traveling. I remember, oh gosh, I can't remember what year it was when crude oil was just through the roof, crazy expensive. And there was not a lot of travel that going into the holidays that year. I don't remember what year that was. But it does reach across a lot of different aspects of the economy. So I thought that was interesting. It's still very supportive of our theory for next year and more positive gains. and fairly significantly positive, I would say, above average. And so, yeah, that's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting stuff. I think we covered a lot of things here. Can you think of anything else?
I just want to, reiterate to the listeners that we have that, yes, all these statistics that we've been poring over the past few months and talking about the macroeconomics at play when it comes to interest rates and inflation. And we do anticipate 2026 to be a very bullish year. But just a reminder, there will be a fair amount of volatility to get through 2026. There's lots of news, and the stock market does, on as we all see, move a little bit with news cycles. So just be aware, if you look at it every day, there's going to be some volatility, but we anticipate holistically in the long run that 2026 is going to be fairly bullish.
Yeah, and I'll go back to how I believe 2019 will be a very good blueprint for 2026. But and even though it was very bullish year, and it has to do with rate cuts as well, but it did contain a decent amount of volatility, even though the end result was lower left to upper right. It did contain volatility, but what it also contained that I would be very happy and really anticipated to see is more of a seasonal nature coming back. And that makes sense because of that dispersion across the broader markets. That's where you tend to see a little bit stronger seasonality. And so that's pretty exciting stuff too. And we'll definitely be covering that throughout the year. And it'll also make an impact as to the decisions that we make in terms of portfolio construction. So I'm really pleased by that, or at least the projection of that.
Yeah, you made a lot of very good points there, Scott, and that is everything I had. Is one a quick reminder of the volatility that we do anticipate. But I hope everybody has a happy holiday season and a happy new year. And if you think anyone might enjoy the market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Absolutely. And yes, happy holidays to everyone. Safe travels if you are, and a very happy new year. And we're going to look forward to doing this in 2026.